Yesterday in Perek Tes, we tried to make sense of a cryptic statement of the Zohar. Because the Zohar Kadosh told us in Parshas Naso that if you want to do tshuva, you need to learn Torah. Okay, I understand that. We explained how learning Torah is negating one's mind entirely to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's going back to the world before the world. Torah is Kadma La'olam. It's before there's a... Before there's a mitzvah, before Hashem gives a command, and before there's someone to be makabel the command, meaning us, before we even exist. So we're trying to take it all the way back to the highest of places, and yet, the Zohar told us that we have to learn Torah, b'dechilu, rechimu, with the emotions of fear and love. So what does that mean? I thought Torah is in the realm of the intellect, in the world of ayin, of nothingness, of bittul. And now you're telling me that my Torah has to be experienced through my senses, through my yira, through my ava. Dechilu rechimu? Isn't that a contradiction? To say it more Kabbalistically, why are we making the hay of Hashem's name dependent upon the vav? Why are we making tshuva ilah, the first hay of Hashem's name, dependent on the emotions, the midos that are embodied by the vav, by the lower spheres? So we explained yesterday that what we're really trying to tap into is not love and fear as we experience them in the lower levels through our senses. Not where there's an independent me who loves God and fears God. But to try to get back to the shoresh, to the root. The root of b'dechilu urechimu. And that's why I pointed out to you that the lashon of the Zohar is what? B'dechilu urechimu dekut shebrichu. It's not man's perspective on love and fear. Which again ranges from loving vanilla ice cream to loving God, all within the framework of man's experience. We're going beyond that. We're getting out of this world. We're going back to the world of ayin, of total nothingness. So what's love and fear as it exists there? It's b'dechilu rechimu dekut shebrichu. And we gave the example of what? He referred to this. And again, I told you it's a little different than the way he uses the term in other parts of Tanya. But it's davchas rucha barucha. Where the two spirits cling to one another. He's not saying it's two independent entities that are most deeply connected. Right? Like the two lovers who kiss, and their breath, they each bring their source of life, their breath, and it's intertwined. That's not what he's saying. He's saying it's so deeply intertwined that it's not even two things anymore. It's one thing. And that's expressed when we learn Torah. When we learn Torah, it's v'asim devarai b'ficha. It's literally Hashem's words in your mouth. To the point that there is no your mouth. It's not even you. It's expressed when a Jew does gemilas chasadim. That he's negating himself the same way that Hashem was mitzamtzim himself to create the world. Okay? And therefore we explained, and this was the second part of yesterday, where we got a little bit rushed, that when a person is motzi zara levatala, when a person, God forbid, is nichshol in pegam habris. Now I wanna give a homework assignment. I'd like to give a homework assignment. I don't assign a lot of homework. I think I'm a pretty nice teacher like that. No? First homework assignment of the year. I'd like to give a homework assignment. What? My homework assignment is, if you go on to YU Torah, there's a series of shirim, maybe some of you know about it already, by Rav Moshe Weinberger Shlita, the Mashpia, called Chaburas Yosef HaTzadik. I don't know if anyone's familiar. Anyone familiar with it? Yeah, some of the chavar, okay? It's up to Shir 17. I listened to Shir 17 on the way to Yeshiva this morning. It's very important to listen to this series, because it's all about approaching this Avera that he's describing here in the proper way. It's specifically geared towards how parents should interact with their children when it comes to talking about Kedusha, Inyanei Kedusha, and sexuality, and especially for young men, and Pegam HaBris. But it's a very, 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 very important series to listen to. It's very important. It's very raw and open and honest. And I'm sure many people will find that it speaks to your heart. Okay? So, when it comes to Pegam HaBris, you read a line in the Zohar and it says, there's no tshuva. And you feel, oi, that's it, I'm ruined. And yet, we know that through Torah, through what? Through Isuk B'oraisa, through studying Torah, a person can fix even this. So why is that so? So we explained yesterday, the way the Baal Tanya explains, that when a person does this Avera, where is it rooted? Obviously at the end it expresses itself through the lower organs, right? Through the body. through the emotions. But it really starts with what? With a misconception. The whole notion, when Rabbi Nachman speaks so scornfully about anything that has to do with sexuality, Rabbi Nachman almost laughs at a person who's struggling with the Yetzirah, right? And he says, like, how low can we be that we fall into this trap? So a lot of it stems from what? It stems from a misconception of how things are. It stems from growing up watching Hollywood movies and having a total, or TV shows, and having a total misconception of what love is, of what sex is, of what intimacy is, right? Of what anything that has to do with that whole parsha, right? Certainly no elements of Kedusha being expressed in those sources I mentioned. Okay, so we have a lot of misconceptions. We have misconceptions about ourselves, we have misconceptions about what's normal, what to expect. And it's exceptionally destructive to a person when the person actually enters into this parsha now, right? And he has all sorts of, especially again for mitzad the men, who have greater taivas for these things than women. And he comes in with this total misconception of what to expect and what it is, v'chulu v'chulu. So, a lot of that pagam really begins in the malach. It starts in the world of dimyon, right? The sexual cravings that a person sometimes has is completely irrational. And therefore, it's a pagam in the malach. His whole way of thinking is off. The whole parsha is a parsha of dimyonos, of false dreams about the way something could be or should be. Right? Hirhurei avera, kasha mi avera. Hirhurei avera, kasha mi avera, Chazal said, because if I can't even... You know, when I do the avera, at least now I know the emes. The person does the avera and he says, okay. At least b'shas ma'is, he realizes, okay, it's not the answer to all my problems. And it's not the secret to my happiness. But in that world of hirhurei avera, where he thinks, if I could just get to this, to that, right? Then I would truly experience, you know, happiness or pleasure, v'chulu v'chulu. So it's a lot of it's a dimyon, and therefore we need to fix our thinking. And the way we fix our thinking in the deepest way is by immersing our mind, being mevatel our mind to the Chachmas HaTorah. And that's why the Rambam says, like I mentioned yesterday, that the Rambam writes in Isurei Bia that what? That machshavos harayos only enter the mind of a person who's devoid of Torah. But if you fill your mind with Torah, you'll have a much, much better chance of getting control of this Yetzirah. Yes, Jack?
If you go on that point, then what about all the people, all the Jews that don't grow up the way like we grew up watching movies? Like, there's a whole sect and they're thinking on the Tavis and they don't...
No, sometimes it's even more unhealthy because there's even more dimyonos. See, at least you know, at least the way that some of us modern Orthodox Jews grew up, right? So we saw movies and we saw TV shows. So we have like a Hollywood romanticized version of like what marriage is, or what love is, or what, right? What any of these things are. A person who's totally cut off from it sometimes is even more unhealthy. The shiur I listened to this morning, Rav Weinberger touched on that. How particularly in certain Hasidic communities where they're even more isolated, right? So once they discover this avera, all the more so it's confusing because you know, all the more so they've been sheltered from it. All the more so they feel dirtied by it and impure from it. So I'm not saying that we should necessarily expose ourselves more and more and more to try to at least, you know, be more understanding of this whole parsha. But you hear what I'm saying. It's a delicate sugya, to say the least. Yeah.
Is what he's saying over here that really all taiva comes from the Moach, which is the seichel,
right?
The attack from the Moach also.
Right. Is all taiva really rooted in the misplaced Moach? Yeah, I think the answer is yes.
From the midos, you can't really.
Can't be metakin from within the midos. You always have to go above. So you have to understand that this pagam, as we spoke about in 2 weeks ago on Tzidkas Tzadik, is really the root of all of it. The reason it's so significant is because it's really the root of all of Eros. Right? This taiva is really the first taiva. So you're like, what do you mean? The first taiva was when Chava looked at the tree and it was Yafalei Anayim and it was tasty to her. It was tasty to her eyes, Lashon of the Pasuk, right? But really, that's not where it began. It began with the Nachash, Rashi says, in Bereishis Perek Gimel, it began with the Nachash having a taiva for Chava. that he saw Adam and Chava being intimate together and he desired Chava. And that's where the whole parsha of Averos began. So that's why we have to really trace it back to the Moach, the root, so to speak, the Moach being the root of the spheros of our experience, is really where it all began, right? Pegam Habris or Pegam Arayos, whatever you want to call it. Like we said again, it's because it's odd. It's Stam Avera in Shas is often a code word. Stam Avera means Ein Adam Osa Avera Elokim Nichlas Bo Ruach Shlus. What's the Avera that's talking about there? It's not just because it's Maseches Sota, right? Stam Avera, right, cheeseburger. Stam Avera is Arayos. Stam Avera is Arayos. So I guess that's why it's so deep, right? And that's why the Shorash of Mitzvos is Pur Arvu. Because again, the proper use of this taiva is a very holy thing. That's how you build Hashem's world. So it's mamish, a delicate thing that really builds and destroys worlds, kipshuto. And it's really rooted in the shorish of the entire Bria. The original mistake came about, was built on the taiva, so to speak, of the nachash for Chava. And Adam and Chava's lack of sensitivity in being tzanua. Again, they didn't have a Yitzhar to know that they should have been Tanua, but okay, yeah.
I got a little confused before you said that, like, from how, like, mom and us, usually for guys that are raised, they have this idea of, like, sexuality, which is incorrect.
Right.
But I thought that, like, when Judaism came, I thought that's what people think naturally, and, like, because before Judaism came into the world, we were learning, right? People just, like, took a girl home, and then, like, you know,
yeah, but the taiva is a natural taiva.
That existed when Judaism came and showed that it was spiritual. It took the mundane and made it spiritual.
Yeah, but what?
It's not inherently spiritual. See, that's what I'm going to do. Is it inherently spiritual? If it is, then why is the nachash lusting over Chava?
Nothing is inherently anything. Kedusha has to be created, right? But yes, this drive, 100% can be a holy thing. It has to be guided and directed properly. So the problem is, if you grow up with, you know, People magazine, and you grow up with Hollywood movies, and you grow up with Brad and Jen, the Marshall, grow up with Brad and Jen. If that's your picture of the perfect relationship, which is based on nothingness, right? If that presentation of love. If that's what we think love means, if that's what we think, you know, marriage is, then we're setting ourselves up to fail. And again, it's very easy to buy into the dimyon, because that's the whole world of the Yetzer Hara.
What do you think the natural inclination is? So if you raise a kid, not like too Haredi or not, you know.
So that's why I have to listen to these shirim. These shirim are about striking a balance and letting a person make mistakes and be human. And at the same time, to be able to protect ourselves and Mir Tashem one day our children, that they shouldn't lose themselves in this great temptation. And it's a very delicate balance. But yeah, you should listen. If you want to just start with the last year, it was very much about this balance. There's a mitzvah of prika and te'ina. Prika means to help the animal to unload, and te'ina means to help an animal to load up. So if you see someone struggling with their animal, there's a mitzvah of prika and te'ina. So Weinberger quoted from the Beis Yaakov, the Ishvitzer Rebbe, who said that sometimes you have Jews who are so overburdened with pressures of Yiddishkeit that the best thing you can do with them is prika, to literally lift some of the Yiras Shemayim off of them. Because the Yiras Shemayim is destroying them. Their intense fear of God is destroying them. And you have other Jews who are living so carefree that nothing's a big deal, and this is a natural healthy urge, and there's nothing to work on, nothing to control, and just have a good time in this world, right? And for such a person, te'ina, you need to load him up. You need to place God back on his shoulders. Okay? But it's a very, very, very delicate balance when you deal with these types of things. Okay? So therefore, he quoted Tana de Be'aliyah. Let's just take it 5 lines before the Parak Yud begins. So it says in Tana de Be'aliyah, if a person does an Avera, and he's Chayav Misa, again, one of these more severe Averos, what should he do? If he usually learns one page, he should learn 2 pages. If he usually learns one parak, he should learn 2 prakim. V'hainu k'mashal chevel, ha'nifsak v'choze v'kosho, shebemakum akesher, hu kafal u'mechupal. When you re-tie the rope, when the rope has snapped, now you tie the two ends together, so the rope is doubled over, and even right? Four times over. Kafal umachupa. Because when you tie it and then you double knot it, right, it is so deeply reconnected. And that's part of the varp, by the way, that the place that the Baal Tshuva stands is greater than the tzaddik. The Baal Tshuva snapped the rope a couple of times. But when he came back, he retied that rope, and that rope is that much stronger now. Okay? Again, it's not lechachila to break the rope. But if you broke the rope, tie it back together, reattach it, right, and you'll see that it'll be that much stronger. The Baal Tshuva feels an achayas. The guy is a good guy. I learned daf yomi. The Baal Tshuva says, I need to follow the description of Tana de Be'al Yo. I need to do two daf a day. So, wow, he's going to become much stronger. Now, he only thought to do two daf a day because he was nechshol in averos and he broke the rope. But he comes back that much stronger. That's Yaakov Chevel Nachalasa. And he concludes by saying, that's what it means in Mishlei, Bechesed ve'emes yichupar avon ve'ein emes el Torah. Bechesed ve'emes yichupar avon ve'ein emes el Torah. The greatest way to come to what? The greatest way to come to kapara is chesed and emes. Now he's hinting to something here, because we spoke about Torah and we spoke about gemilas chesedim. The next parak that we're about to start is going to talk about tefillah, and then we'll have the three pillars upon which the world stands. Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. But he's hinting to here, Bechesed ve'emes, with Chesed and Emes, again, he's not really addressing how Chesed deals with this, how Chesed also is a form of Tshuva Ilah, other than the fact that, yes, you're being like God, you're being a vehicle to do what God did when He created the world. So it's also, in a certain sense, Kodem Lebriyas Olam. But let's focus on the Torah aspect for a moment. Ein Emes al Torah. When a Jew learns Torah, he gets Kapara. It says in Shmuel Aleph, remember what happened to the Bnei Eli? Kipshuto, again, Chazal have different interpretations exactly what happened, but the Pashup Shot is that they were Nechshol in Arayos. Whether that means they were taking advantage of other people's wives, Kipshuto, or as Chazal interpret that they were holding back the women so they weren't able to return to their husbands in time, right, by not processing their karbanos more quickly. And causing that separation of husband and wife was also a form of Gilei Arayos. But the bottom line is that the Bnei Eli were nichshol in some level in Arayos. What's their kapara? It says in Shmuel Aleph, in Parak Gimel, V'avon beis Eli b'zevach u'mincha, Hashem says, I'm not accepting karbanos. Hu de'enu mischaper, ava mischaper b'torah, v'gemilas chasadim, k'disa b'sof parakam ad Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah in Daf Yud Ches, Amid Aleph says that what? That while karbanos are not going to work to fix your arayos, Bnei Eli, but Torah and Gemilas Chasadim can fix arayos. Okay? So this is Tshuva Ilah. Become a vehicle of Elukus. Don't even be an independent worker for God. Become a Shliach of Hashem, where Shlucho Sha'adim Kamosa, where you become a miniature version of Hashem on planet Earth. It's not you, it's all Hashem. Ein od Mavada. Complete bittul to Hashem, and we achieve that through Torah and Gemilas Chasadim, letting Hashem express Himself through us. Okay? Now, Torah, Gemilas Chasadim, what's the third pillar upon which the world stands? Tefillah. So take a look at Perek Yud. V'inei tshuva ilah zu, distav kusa derucha brucha idei Torah, Gemilas Chasadim. When we talk about what we spoke about in that last parak of Torah and Gemilas Chasadim as a form of Tshuva Ilah, of attaching ourselves as Dabchus Rucha Berucha, fully attached to Hashem, that is, when we talk about Torah, we talk about Chesed, that is top down. That is Milamala Lamata. What does that mean? It's Hashem's Torah. It's Hashem's Torah. So the fact that you're learning Hashem's Torah, don't forget, it's Hashem's Torah. Chesed. I'm doing chesed. You're doing chesed? Why? What? How did you do chesed? What do you mean? Yishayinu zayin, l'hachilas ruach shafalim. I gave money to those who are downtrodden. Ah, and whose money did you give? Whose money did you give? You're going to answer my money. That's going to undermine the whole point. You gave Hashem's money. So you learned Hashem's Torah. And you gave Hashem's money. Okay. So therefore, the hamshacha, the process was top down. You are humble enough to negate yourself to let Hashem express His Torah through you and to express His Gemilas Chasadim through you. What about when it comes to Tefillah? Tefillah is bottom up. Take a look. when it comes to Torah and Gemilas Chasadim, second line of Parakyot, he bebechinas hamshacha milamal lamata. That is from the top down. Lios devar Hashem mamish bepiv. That the word of Hashem is flowing through your mouth, like it says. Pasuk we saw in the last parak. Vasim devarai beficha. Yishayin nun tes. I placed my words in your mouth. V'yamino tichapkeni. His right hand embraces me. B'gemilas chasadim. The right hand, of course, is the hand of chesed. The chesed draw yamino. So when we do chesed, when we learn Torah, it's really just Hashem learning Torah through us. It's Hashem doing chesed through us. It's really trickling down from the top. Aval, look, what's the tshuva ilah that we bring to the table, so to speak? Where do we have a little bit more of an involvement? And that's why, chevra, this is why, when we think about tshuva, tefillah for sure comes to mind. If I ask you, how do you do tshuva? Right? We know there's going to be a lot of davening. Rosh Hashanah has a lot of davening. Yom Kippur has a lot of davening. Slichos is a lot of davening. So much davening. Why? Take a look. Aval odem atachton tzarech leilich mimadrega lemadrega. Mimata lemala. I need to try, what? To do tshuva ilah from the bottom up. How do I do that? He bechinas tshuva ilah. V'stavches rucha berucha bekavanas halev betvila. To try to negate myself to Hashem through tefillah. Let's see what that means. U'beprad bekriyas shema u'birchoseh. Especially at the most critical points of tefillah, namely the brachos that lead into Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim, where I declare Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's how I negate myself to Hashem. Kedei lomar, that I should be able to say v'ahavta, that I love Hashem and I'm committed to Hashem with all my heart and all my soul, be'emes la'amito, with all of my lev, with all of my nefesh, be'emes la'amito. To really say, there's no part of myself that I reserve for myself. Hashem, I give you, 99% of my heart. I give you 99% of my soul. To be able to say, Hashem, no, I give you everything. V'chein, v'ayu advar me'ila, v'chulu, v'dibarta bam v'chulu, lios devar Hashem b'fiv b'emes, v'ein emes ela Torah, like we just saw. To be able to, again, be a vehicle for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. But through tefillah, I, so to speak, create that attachment of tshuva ilah. I'm moving from the bottom up. Let's keep going for a second. V'chein l'kayim kol ha-mitzvos. Like it says, asher k'dishanu b'mitzvosav. Kamo harei at mikudeshes li. Hi b'chinas kodesh elyon. Lashon precious v'avdala. Asher k'dishanu b'mitzvosav. You've made me distinct, Hashem. You've made me separate through your mitzvos. What does that mean? Turn the page. She'eino yachol eslabish toch almin. Mishum dekula kamei kalo chashiv. El v'china sovev kol almin. Hu ratzon elyon baruchu v'chulu. As I write in Likutei Amarim, the first part of Tanya, Perek Mem Vav. Okay, now what just happened? Let's just try to understand what just happened here. It's a little tricky, it's a little hard to understand why this is different than what happened previously. And he's even referencing again, he's going back to Ein Emes El Torah. And he's saying, V'ahavta, that you should love Hashem with all of your heart and all of your soul. So what's happening here? What's happening here? Anyone want to take a stab at this? It's not so posh. The rest of the parak's easy, because very geschmack. The rest of the parak good, you're going to love. But this first part's a little bit hard. Again, how is this a movement? Mimadrega lamadrega, mimata lamala. Is davchas rucha berucha bekavanas alei betfila? Yeah.
Maybe it's this idea of like if we get ourselves to that like fit ourselves so much to that stage of an Aryan, then when we're davening with such kavanas, such like emesis from our shaman, it's like.
Okay. So stop there for a second. The first part, I like the first thing you said. Right? Meaning how do I even become so greatly nullified that I can be that vehicle for Torah and for Gemilas Chasadim? If the goal is that I'm supposed to be nothing, right? That I'm supposed to negate myself so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can pass his Torah through me and his Gemilas Chasadim through me. So how do I make that? How do I make that type? How do I make myself into that type of person? So you'll say, well, you study Torah. But then there's still the chashash that it's me studying Torah. And Torah often makes us feel very elevated. So it might enhance or increase the sense of self. Tefillah is the mechanism by which what? By one can be mevatel himself completely to Hashem in a very holy way. The same way that Hashem says, I am putting my words through you. And I am doing chesed through you. So David Melech says, Va'ani tefillah. I'm making myself into tefillah. What do you mean you're making yourself into tefillah? It's the same thing that we're trying to make ourselves into Torah, we're trying to make ourselves into chesed. But to do that, we have to become the person who's nullified himself. We do that through tefillah. Okay? Let's read on in the words. I know it's a little confusing, but it's about to become very, very clear. V'gam, and I'll tell you a beautiful vart that I thought of the other day. V'gam achar atvila, omrim elecha Hashem nafshi esa, dahainu lizdabcha rucha barucha kol hayom. The Gemara uses a lashon, halavai a person should daven all day long. You remember that Gemara? The Rav Yochanan statement, right? Halavai a person should daven all day long. I should be in a constant state of tefillah. Va'ani tefillah. I am tefillah. Not that I am a person who exists and I sometimes go to shul to daven. Or I sometimes wake up late and daven in my apartment. Right? But to be a shtick, a piece of tefillah. I am tefillah. And therefore, halavai, all day long, I'm davening. If I am tefillah, right? If my essence is tefillah, then all day I am davening. So look what he says. So how do I do that? This part's very clear. Fifth line. V'chol ze al yedei ha'isbonadish b'gedulas ein sof baruch ba'amakas hadas b'shtayim lefanel u'psukei de zimra kanoda. All of davening, psukei de zimra. You know what the word zomer means in Hilchos Shabbos, in the Lamatas Malacha sense? What's zomer? The what? The prune, right, the cut. Psuge de Zimra, you know what we're doing during Psuge de Zimra? We're trimming trees. We're cutting away all the parts of ourself that are getting in between us and Hashem. Then you come to Birchas Kriyashma. You come to Birchas Kriyashma. And that much more you're attaching to Hashem. Then you declare it. You're able to say, you use your Koach HaDibur, which is the essence of man, to say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And then you come to what? The Amida. To be Omid Lefnei Hashem. Ah, you're talking. You know why you're talking during Shemona Esrei? Because you're still a human, and we still have to acknowledge our subjective experience, and therefore I need to talk to God. But really, it's what? I'm just Omid before Hashem. And it's the silent Amida. Why don't I say it out loud if I'm really talking? Shema, I said out loud. Why am I getting so quiet? You know, the Shem Yishmuel brings from the Arizal, that when a person is B'Shas Shemona Esrei and we're whispering to Hashem, it's like a husband and wife whispering to one another in the bedroom. That's what he says. It's the most intimate part of the davening. After I've taken out the garbage and I took it to Zimra, right, and I expressed my love openly, in the Birchas Kriya Shema, and then I declared my ultimate commitment to Hashem, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, now I stand before Hashem, and I enter into that private chamber, so to speak, under the talis, right? Chassid goes under the talis, and he's in a state of hispodas, you don't have to run into a forest, every time you go under your talis, you're alone with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you become one with Hashem. So now, during tefillah, I prepare myself and I'm cutting away all the stages leading up to Shemona Esrei, I guess, the height of tefillah. If one of the mechanisms of tshuva ilah is tefillah, if tefillah is an expression of tshuva ilah, tzarech lahachdim lefaneh b'chinas tshuva tata. Watch what's about to happen. The same way that we spoke about higher level tshuva and lower level tshuva, we have higher level tefillah and lower level tefillah. Okay? Well, let's just review for a second. What was tshuva tata? What was lower level tshuva? How did we do lower level tshuva? How did we do it? What do we do? The what? We had rachlim on ourselves, right? And that led to what? That led to what? Shvira salev, right? The lev nishvar. The tshuva tata was through the Lev Nishbar. Right? Was through humbling oneself. Tshuva ilah is complete attachment to Hashem where there is no me. Again, tshuva tata, I'm still working on me, I'm trying to humble me to the point that now I'm by tshuva ilah and there is no me. Okay? So look what happens when we daven Shmoneh Esrei. He has a gewaldic insight, just a beautiful explanation of the Gemaras. A simple taich of the Gemaras. Look what he writes here. Again, if I want to come to tefillah, which is tshuva ilah, so first I need to do tshuva tata, which is also tefillah. Look, here's how you do it. The Mishnah says, Ein omdin lispalel el mitoch kovid rosh. The Mishnah says in Brachos, we don't get up to daven until we first have a state of kovid rosh. Perish Rashi, hachna, lev nishbar. Right? Humility. Humility. V'hi b'chinas tshuva tata l'or rachamim. Like you said. That we use that feeling of lev nishbar, and we say, oy, I'm so disappointed in the way that I've treated my neshama. I'm disappointed for myself, right? And I humble the sitra achar inside of myself, like we spoke about. Okay? Okay, the Yalef Hasan B'Gemara, as the Gemara brings from the Pasuk, by Chana, at the beginning of Shmuel Aleph, V'hi maras nefesh. And she was an embittered spirit. Chana is the shoresh of tefillah. She's the starting point of Shmoneh Esrei. She created davening. She created the silent davening. So much so that Eli thought she was a drunkard. Right? He saw that this lady whispering to herself, moving her lips. He said she's drunk. Okay? When really he maras nefesh. She was an embittered spirit. She was a person who was experiencing shvira salev, lev nishbar, tshuva tata. Now, look at his next line.
Can you translate those?
Tshuva tata means lower tshuva. Tata means lower, ilah means upper or higher. Okay? So the first step to tshuva is there's a me that's like totally inflated. There's a me that's connected to bad things, to sitra achra, to the dark side. And the first thing I need to do is take away that power and humble myself. It's still me. There is a me. I exist. But I don't want to be that inflated bal gaiva, bal taiva me. I want to be a humbled me. A humbled servant before God. That's step one. That's Chana's tefillah. That's Ein Omdin L'Spala. We don't get up to Davin until first we have Kovid Rosh. A heaviness of spirit, which Rashi says is Hachna, is humility. Okay, is submission before Hashem. But then the Braisa says something that seems to contradict it. Look what the Braisa says. The Braisa says, Ein Omdin L'Spala El Mitoch Simcha. When we daven, we have to daven with great joy. Whoa, how does that work? How does that work? So, Chevron, what's the punchline? How does that work? What's the answer? The answer is, and he doesn't say it so clearly, but it's so clear that this is what he's saying, is that what? First, I get ready to daven, and I do tshuva tata. First, I have lev nishbar. Right? That's my hakadama to tefillah. That's getting myself ready to daven. Ain't only lispal. I don't come to Shmoneh Esrei until I first did Pesukei the Zimra, I trimmed some trees, and I realigned myself in terms of recognizing Hashem and loving Hashem and declaring Yichud Hashem, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. But by the time I stand before Hashem, when I finally get there, then what? Then I'm standing there b'simcha. I'm standing there b'simcha because I'm holding my what? I'm holding my tshuva ilah. I'm holding my tshuva ilah. And I don't have to feel bad when I'm holding my tshuva ilah. Someone tell me why there's no feeling of being crushed when I'm holding my tshuva ilah. Why don't I feel bad when I'm holding my tshuva ilah? Yeah?
Because you recognize that you are one with Hashem, so there's no need.
There's nothing to feel bad about because?
Because
I don't exist. I don't exist anymore. I'm kula b'simcha. Everything I thought about myself, I did all those averas, now there is no me. There's no me to feel bad, there's no me to be punished, right? Stage one was, there is a me, and I have to acknowledge that, and I have to be a better me, and I have to humble myself, I have to stop feeding the Yitzhara, and letting him put a crown on my head instead of putting a crown on Hashem's head. That's stage one. But once I've done that, once I've really humbled myself, the MS, and Hashem takes me back, and the drop of water goes back into the ocean, and now it's just, I'm part of Hashem, now I'm kula b'simcha. Now the chiddush is going to be that we do these two things really simultaneously. And a Jew has to live, kol hayom, a Jew has to be in a state of tefillah, right? Again, halavai, I should daven all day long, means halavai, I should simultaneously be in a state of shviras halev, right? And a state of what? And a state of pure simcha all the time. Ah, contradiction in emotions. How can that be? Okay, that's life. To pretend I don't exist, right, while I'm sitting down to eat lunch is a little bit dishonest, right? But to pretend that my whole tachlis is eating lunch when I'm a chelek elokam imal is also dishonest. So I have to live in both worlds at the same time. I'm going to tell you a vart about that in a second. But let's finish the parak. So therefore, now that I'm ready, I did the submission before Hashem to get myself in position to daven. And now I'm able to daven mitoch simcha. V'achshav b'dor yasom, hazeh she'ein hakol yichol lafoch libam karegam in a katze. Nowadays, we're not able to shift gears so quickly. Very hard for us to wake up in the morning and all of a sudden feel, you know, go through this, like, to really, you know, be in the junk, like, you know, there's, like, what are those things called? Machetes? Yeah. Right, where you're, like, chopping your way through the jungle. That's what Pesukah Dezimra is. Right? So most of us are just trying to keep our eyes open and not drop our sitter. Right? But to be like a fierce warrior, chopping through the jungle, coming through those averos, fighting your way back to the palace, to Hashem. Yeah? So in our lowly generation, we can't wake up and go through this whole, you know, minakotze ala kotze in a few moments. As I eat yutza lahaktim b'chinas tshuva tata b'tikun chatzos. If you ever want to daven a real shmon esrei in your life, then you need to do some work, what? Before you show up to shul. Even the chassidim yishonim used to sit for an hour before they got going. Because it takes a lot of work to get the heart soft enough to then be able to stand before Hashem b'simcha. If you're not able to do tikkun chatzos every night, at least once a week before Shabbos comes. Kanoda liyodim, because those who know, Shabbos hi b'chinas tshuva ilah, because Shabbos also is a very intimate time with Hashem. When Shabbos takes place, Shabbos totally surrounds you. You're enveloped by Shabbos. You're in a world called Shabbos. You're swimming in Shabbos. Again, like that drop of water that's returned to the ocean. Shabbos surrounds us in time, in place, in person. Right? So therefore, Shabbos is tshuva ilah. So you better be ready. You better do tshuva. Why do you think that tzaddikim made such a big inyan out of doing tshuva on Erev Shabbos? What's the inyan of tshuva on Erev Shabbos? What's the inyan of mikvah on Erev Shabbos? All these things are means of what? Getting ourselves ready through tshuva tata to get ready to be Kabbalah Shabbos, which is tshuva ilah. So Shabbos is osios, tafshin beis. The whole word Shabbos is a lashon of tshuva. Right? Tashuv enosh. That a person should be able to come back to Hashem. Ki b'Shabbos hi aliyas ha'olamos l'mekoram u'beprat tfilos ha'Shabbos v'dayel l'meivin. And I've said enough for those who understand, says the Baal Tanya. That on Shabbos the worlds are lifted up. You're no longer in the lower worlds. There's no malacha. Everything is done. I never have to go back to work ever again. Never have to check my emails ever again. I'm hoping that Shabbos will become the Gula Shlema, and that whole lower world will be left behind. Shabbos is mi'ein olam haba. It's beyond. It's totally beyond olam haza, beyond this world. Uvezeh yuvan. In conclusion, now we understand that which the pasuk says in Yeshaya, the pasuk we saw earlier in Parak Zayin, shuva elai ki galticha, shuva elai ki galticha. Very strange pasuk, no? Return to me because I have redeemed you. Well, if you already saved us, if you already redeemed us, so then haven't I already returned to you? What's the tshuva that comes after the redemption? Perish. Like we learned in Parak Zayin. The clouds of sin that separate us from Hashem. He havar sa sitra achra. When we erase those clouds of sin, v'gaalticha min achitzonim, and I've destroyed the sitra achra, and I've humbled myself, and I did tshuva tata, oh, now bisoris harachamim al yonim bisarus latata b'tshuva tata azai shuva elai b'tshuva ilah. So he's reading the pasuk in Yeshayim Mem Dalet, shuva elai, do full tshuva ki gaalticha. After what? After you've already done lower level tshuva. That's the pshat in the pasuk. Okay? So every person is really living with this duality, and that's expressed by tefillah. The very nature of tefillah, as he's going to begin the next parak, right? Parak Yud Aleph. Amnam liyos libo hachna, which is tshuva tata, and simcha shteyam beyachad. That I'm constantly living with both of these things at the same time. To be able to be humbled, and to be able to also be standing up, a midah, to stand before Hashem. That's to be able to do both at the same time is really a very lofty level of being a yid. Okay, so I want to share with you a var. Yeah, to your comment. No, go ahead.
If someone's like a really big tzaddik, and I understand everyone has good and bad days, but let's say they just came out of a really good day, then the next morning, is it that they need to do less teshuva?
Right. So the truth is, even if we've done tshuva, let's say I had a bad day and I did tshuva, and then I had a good day. Right. So what happens the next morning? So what happens the next morning is I go back to the bad day and I do tshuva on it again. Because there's always levels of tshuva.
There's always more to do.
Tshuva. And that's what's being hinted to in this pasuk. Tshuva elai, return to me even after you've been redeemed. The tzaddik also has to do tshuva. Yeah.
Is it possible you could explain what tikkun katzos really is, and how is it get you ready for tshuva, or is it tshuva
so well? Why does he keep talking about tikkun katzos?
Yeah. What
do you think? Tikkun katzos is acknowledging the brokenness of the world. Right? I'm mourning the fact that the world is utterly broken, that there's no bismik, there's no gilui elokus. And I use that as a springboard to say about myself, I'm utterly broken and there's no gilui elokus. And I need a fix. There's a lot of fixing to do, there's a lot of building to do. I think that's what he's using tikkun chassos to. But I don't know enough about tikkun chassos to know why he's three times that he's mentioned that as like the springboard to tshuva. Like that's a good time to be koveya. I guess he's assuming that a person who, like the Shulchan Aruch says, it's one of the first halachas in the Shulchan Aruch, that it's a roi, it's fitting for any Yarei Shemayim to be doeg on the Mikdash. So this is a guy who cares. The fact that he wants to do tshuva means he cares. He's a Yarei Shemayim. So when he thinks about the base of Mikdash, and he thinks about, he pulls himself out of whatever he's drowning in, and says, the whole world is falling apart, and I'm losing myself in it. Maybe that's the wake-up call. I'm not sure. Okay, I want to tell you a part that I thought of, which I think just really... Hits home on this point. There's a machlokas in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. Just give me 2 more minutes, then we'll stop. The machlokas in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, chavavim abeis. What should the shofar look like? What's the better shofar? A bent shofar or a straight shofar? A bent chavavim abeis Rosh Hashanah. A bent shofar or a straight shofar? Each one has an advantage. The Gemara talks about it. The Mishnah debates it. The Gemara discusses it. How do we paskin? So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch in Taf Kuf Pei Vav in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah 586, chapter 586 of the Shulchan Aruch, the very first halacha, it says that mitzvah bekfufim yoser mi bepshutim. It's better to use a bent shofar than a straight shofar, even though a straight shofar is also acceptable. And Mishnah Berurah talks about it. Different animals, is it better to have bent from a lesser quality animal than to have straight from a better quality animal? Okay. But I was thinking about this idea. The Baal HaTanya is talking here about how a Jew has to simultaneously what? Be in a state of hachna, and at the same time to be able to stand proudly before Hashem b'simcha. So I was thinking, the shofar is really, the cry of the shofar is really, right, our cry. It's being expressed through the shofar. Why isn't it coming from me? Why is it coming from the shofar? The reason that we want to use the shofar instead of crying ourselves, I think the Beis Halevi explains, we do cry ourselves, but the reason I also want to use the vehicle called the shofar is because unfortunately these lips and this breath has been wasted over the course of the year. This mouth spoke Lashon Hara, this mouth spoke Nivul Peh, right? And therefore we don't want to use our bodies to be the vehicle to express that scream and cry of the shofar. We use the innocent horn, right? The shofar that sat in the bag all year and behaved very nicely. As opposed to using ourselves with all of our shortcomings with our speech and our words and our language and our way of expressing ourselves. Okay? So that's why we use the shofar. But we know that the havaminas also have truth to them. And again, b'di'evit, a straight shofar also works. So when the Gemara is debating what's a better shofar, a bent shofar or a straight shofar, I think the answer is really, the goal is both at the same time. Obviously, I have to pick which type of shofar I'm going to use. And halacha says, mitzvah bekfufim, yosr mi bepshutim. Better to use the bent shofar than the straight shofar. But I'll tell you why I thought of this for. Rav Moshe of Kobriner, Zecher Tzadik v'Kadosh Levracha. The Kobriner was one of the two Rebbeim of the first Lanam Rebbe. Right? The first Lanam Rebbe, the Yesod HaAvoda, was a Talmud of Rav Moshe of Kobrin and Rav Noach of Lechovich. Okay, so the Kobriner used to say the following Gemara. He said, a chassid needs to know how to do the following three things. Okay, you want to be a chassid? So you have to know how to do the following three things. Kobriner said, a chassid has to be able to do the following three things. You have to be able, number one, to dance without moving. A chassid has to know how to dance without moving. If you see someone who's just like dancing like crazy and he thinks he's such a chassid, unless he knows how to dance without moving, he's not really a chassid. The Gebriner said you have to know how to scream without making a sound. Maybe Nachman talks about that also, the silent scream. A chassid has to know how to be screaming in a room that's completely silent without making a sound. And the third thing the Gebriner said is that a Jew needs to know how to what? How to stand up straight even when he's bent over. A Jew needs to be able to be standing straight, standing erect, even when he's hunched over, even when he's bent over. What's the pshat? The pshat is a Jew has to be able, on the one hand, to walk around and say, Bishvili Nivra Olam, and he has to be able at the same time to say, Anochi Afar Vefer. A Jew has to be able to be Vani Tfila all day. But Tfila requires Einom Dim Lispal Mitoch Chovid Rosh, and Einom Dim Lispal Mitoch Simcha. So which is it? And the answer is, it's both. Is the shofar bent or is the shofar straight? And again, the shofar is just a mashal for us. Do I come to Rosh Hashanah? Am I hunched over, frightened of the Yom HaDin, or am I able to stand up proudly before Hashem? The answer is both. Because I look at myself in Rosh Hashanah, and I see my shortcomings, and I see who I could be. Right? And I'm able to literally be hunched over and to be standing straight at the same time. The Lubavitcher Rebbe used to say, that's why Har Sinai was a har. If Hashem wanted to teach the lesson how humble Har Sinai was, so why didn't Hashem give the Torah in a valley? That's much more humble. The answer is, because the Indian of a small mountain is Dafka the Indian. You hear? The beautiful insight. Baba Cherry said, a small mountain is Dafka the point. A big mountain means you're standing up too tall. You're Doicha the Ragle Shechina. A valley, a person who's too low, is Marish Chora, is depressed. And that's also one of the biggest of eras, to be said. The goal of a Jew is to be what? A small mountain. To be a bent shofar that's also straight. That a shofar can do a tkiah and it can also do a shvar. It can make straight sounds and it can make broken sounds. Because a shofar is also. It's straight and it's broken. That a chassid is able to be bent over, hunched over, and at the same time standing up straight. Okay? So I want to conclude with the story. Other thing we'll talk about, we gotta think about this too. But this is the one that's okay with us right now. There's an art school book called The Mashkiach. It's a biography of Rav Meir Chadash. Rav Meir Chadash was a Talmud Muvak of the Alter Slobodka. And he was the Mashkiach of the Chevron Yeshiva. Okay? Passed away in 1989. The Alter of Slobodka, we know, taught Jews how to stand up straight. That was his inyan. The yeshiva bachim, who were seen as like the lowest rank of society, the biggest losers and failures, the altar Slobodka came, and Slobodka taught Godless Adam, that a Jew learns Torah is the most chashiv thing in the world, and he has to superficially, externally express that. When the Gemara says in Masech HaShabbos that a person has a stain, a Talmud Chacham has a stain on his shirt, deserves Misa, it's the biggest Chil Hashem for a Talmud Chacham to walk around looking schlumpy and looking messy, right? It's a big Chil Hashem because people say, look, Torah is not refined. Torah doesn't carry itself in a distinguished fashion. So listen, I want to read to you from the Mashkiach, the book called the Mashkiach. The attire he insisted on included a short coated suit and a hat. No beard was worn, and hair was cut in a way that was considered respectable, quote-unquote, in the street. Gradually, the townspeople's attitude towards yeshiva students changed. The student, too, learned to view himself as a person of stature, as a Talmud Chacham, as opposed to an Am Haaretz, or especially as opposed to the various proponents of the Enlightenment. Right? He was trying to teach that there could be a Chashuv Ben Torah, who carries himself, and the world sees himself that way, he sees him that way, and he sees himself that way. Rav Isaac Sher, who is a son-in-law of the altar and the Rosh Yeshiva of Slobodka, is remembered by all as a man who walked with an erect carriage, eyes cast down. In his youth, they say he used to walk with a stooped posture. He was a shtickle, like, you know, when he'd go down the street, it was like always like a little bit too bent over. The altar wished to get him to walk upright. Calling Rav Isaac over, he handed him a sum of money and instructed him, go and buy yourself a pair of, what was the word we were trying to pronounce before Shir today? How do you pronounce it? Those glasses that you wear pinched on your nose? Pantsnei?
Pantsnei.
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 Dictionary.com. Pantsnei. Pantsnei are those little glasses that you pinch on your nose. They're not attached to anything. So the altar called over of Isaac Sher and he said, go buy yourself a pair of pantsnei. These were a type of elegant spectacles worn in those days. They had no earpieces and stayed on by pinching the bridge of the nose. The only way to keep the pantsnei from falling off was by standing very straight. The student did as he was told. Rav Isaac Sher, he used to walk down the street like this. You hear where this is going? He bought the spectacles, but a short time later they fell off and broke, much to Isaac's chagrin. Rav Isaac's chagrin. The altar handed him more money and sent him off to buy a new pair. This time Rav Isaac was more careful. He walked carefully, back straight, so that the glasses stayed on his nose. That was how he learned to walk with an upright posture. Now this Rav Isaac Sher also carried himself. His eyes were always down, but his body was straight. Is the shofar kayif or is the shofar yasher? Is it pashut? And the answer is it has to be both. A Jew has to be able to what? To balance, so to speak, the glasses on his nose. To be able to carry himself straight enough that he's not falling apart, but at the same time, with his eyes cast downward. Many years later, when Rav Isaac wished to influence a student of his own to improve his posture, he would thump the student on the back and borrow a quote from his own purposes. Asaha Elokim Asa Adam Yashar. Hashem made man upright. Hashem made man straight. So a Jew has to be able to strike this balance between the two. To be in a constant state of tshuva tata, and at the same time to be in a state of tshuva ilah. So Mirz Hashem tomorrow, we'll find out more. Baal Tanya will express it very directly. How is it possible for a person to live with such different feelings? B'sha'achas. How is it possible to at the same time have that feeling of hachna, of complete nullification and bittul to Hashem, and at the same time to be besimcha? But again, we partially already know the answer. Okay? Mirz Hashem tomorrow. Parakut Aleph, which is an amazing, amazing parak.